What if the reason you're feeling tired, foggy, or aging faster than you thought you should is less to do with motivation and more to do with what's happening inside your cells? Well, welcome back to Embodied, leading the future of intelligent fitness, conscious movement, and cellular longevity. Today's episode was recorded at the Global Wellness Summit in Dubai, and I'm joined by someone working at the forefront of longevity science and human performance. My guest is Alexander Audit, Chief Scientific Officer of the NAD Clinic, a global leader in cellular health and performance medicine operating in more than 40 countries. Alexander's path into this work is anything but traditional. He actually began as a chemical engineer, became an integrative clinician trained in traditional Chinese medicine and nutritional medicine, and now he works at the intersection of hard science and real-world application. His focus is on NAD, a molecule essential for cellular energy, brain health, inflammation regulation, and DNA repair, and how restoring it can meaningfully impact how we age, think, and perform in life. In this conversation, we break down what NAD actually is, why levels begin declining as early as our 30s, and how that decline shows up as fatigue, brain fog, metabolic dysfunction, and accelerated aging. We talk through NAD therapy, testing, dosing, IV versus oral supplementation, and how to approach longevity intelligently rather than chasing trends. We also explore emerging tools like methylene blue, mitochondrial health, and what it really means to extend lifespan, not just health span. So if you care about staying sharp, energized, resilient, and deeply embodied as you move through life, this episode is for you. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Kathy Covington Podcast, where science meets soul and strength finds meaning. I'm Kathy, and I created this podcast as a space for women who want more than just a workout. This is a place for total body health, from cellular science to spiritual alignment, from functional nutrition to emotional resilience. Here, we blend real research with real stories, honest conversations about healing, growth, and the messy, beautiful process of becoming fully embodied. You'll hear from experts, practitioners, and women just like you, each with a piece of the puzzle to help you live a stronger, clearer, happier, healthier, and more connected life. So if you're ready to go beyond the surface and into the deep, deep, nourishing work of becoming whole, you're in the right place.
All right. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a beautiful day. We are at the Global Wellness Summit in Dubai, and I have the pleasure and honor of being with you today and excited to learn more about you. Start off by telling us your background, sure. How you started.
Before I was the science officer for NAD Clinic, which is a UK-based company, but we service over 40 countries now in 5 continents. But before this role, I was a Canadian integrative TCM clinician, so traditional Chinese medicine doctor that also did nutritional medicine. Before that, I was a chemical engineer, so I know about chemistry. So in the integrative space of medicine, I'll explain what NAD is. NAD, it's a big long word, stands for a nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide. So basically, it's a natural coenzyme of vitamin B3. Okay, so you take vitamin B3 and you take it into your body, and then your body makes NAD out of that. And NAD fuels your cells. So basically, it increases your cellular energy. It helps with lowering inflammation. It acts as a chemical messenger, neurotransmitter, all these things. When we're young, we have lots of NAD. We have lots of energy. We're bursting with energy. And then at around age 30, our NAD levels start to decline. And between the ages of 40 and 60, you'll lose about 50% of your NAD levels. And that's just through natural aging. So for example, if you were to think of your body as a bucket, your bucket's got lots of holes in it and you're leaking. And what you're leaking is nutrients. So you have to continuously have a supply of nutrients going in leaks out of the bucket. So you're continuously filling a leaky bucket. Now, what happens is if you leak enough, you get down to a red line of the bucket where you get down to the very lowest level, then that can lead the way to nutrient deficiency diseases. So some examples of those would be scurvy, which would be vitamin C deficiency, pellagra, which is actually a vitamin B3 deficiency disease, or NAD deficiency, really. And then a vitamin D deficiency would be rickets. You know, people remember that. Goiter, that would be iodine deficiency, or beriberi. Also, Wernicke cardiomyopathy, which is what a vitamin B1 deficiency, essentially. So these are all examples of what happens when the bucket gets too empty. And so when your bucket's leaking, there's little holes, and then there's bigger holes, and then there's big, really big holes. The little holes would be like things like, you know, everyday living, mild stress. The bigger holes might be things like lifestyle choices, such as alcohol consumption, lack of sleep, poor diet. And then the biggest holes where you're leaking a lot of nutrients would be things like a chronic disease, neuroinflammation, cancer, these sorts of things. So what we want to do is we want to keep our bucket full. So we have to continuously fill it. So that's where nutrient supplementation, in addition to lifestyle, adequate lifestyle habits, comes in.
So that's where, that's your space and your expertise is in that area.
Yes.
Particularly supplementation with NAD.
Supplementation with NAD. I used to use NAD actually probably before it was popular in longevity. Longevity medicine is not old. It's maybe at max 15 years old. Before that, people weren't talking about longevity and wellness the same way they are today. And so we were using NAD to treat specific conditions, specifically addiction and mental health issues. And so schizophrenia, depression, these respond very well to increasing NAD levels, same as addiction. NAD will wipe out the withdrawal syndrome for many drugs, which is a huge step in terms of the treatment for addiction, because it's the initial step, the detoxification. Then, of course, you have to do the psychological work. So yeah, NAD was very fringe because people don't like to talk about mental illness and they don't like to talk about addiction. So, you know, NAD wasn't center stage on everybody's mind. And then over time, there began to be a lot more research that started to get done in longevity and wellness. And our CEO, Ian de Havilland at NAD Clinic, he asked, well, why can't we use this for longevity, for wellness, for human performance? You know, us practitioners, I'll speak for myself. I don't want to speak for everybody, but we're a science-y, geeky bunch of folks. And so, you know, we knew what we were using it for, and it didn't occur to a lot of us that, yeah, it could be used for these things too. And so it was nice that Ian was sort of instrumental in leading the change towards longevity and wellness as an application, because it truly shines in that aspect as well.
I've heard of it used in like the case of anxiety and creating or helping people that are coming off of different addictions, drug addictions. But I am particularly fascinated with how it is being used in longevity. And just kind of, I wouldn't call it, if maybe you would say, is it repurposing a medicine for something, some other use or some other?
That's exactly what it's exactly what it's doing. When you take an old medicine and you can repurpose it for something else, it's great when you can do that, because then you're essentially extending the lifespan of the medicine or the nutraceutical, as whatever the case may be. So for example, we're doing that in the longevity wellness space with methylene blue. Methylene blue is it was a medical dye. It was first, one of the very first drugs that was regulated by the FDA back in, gosh, I think in the 1890s, it was regulated. So that's a long time ago. And initially it was used for malaria because it was a great anti-malarial. Then they also found all these other uses. For example, it has mild antibiotic function. It also has antidepressant properties, and it boosts mitochondrial energy production. So that's what NAD does. NAD works on a bit of a different part of the mitochondria compared to methylene blue, but when they're used sometimes in combination, it's a very powerful combination. So one of the, I guess, universal things that most people complain about when they have a medical issue is fatigue. Fatigue, everybody's got fatigue. I mean, in our very stressful, fast-moving world, fatigue is something that you hear all the time, especially chronic fatigue. And so things that will boost energy metabolism help to alleviate fatigue, and that's why there's such interest in these.
Interesting. Yeah, so NAD now is like used to alleviate fatigue. How about with, particularly when you're saying longevity or extending the lifespan, how does that play in?
Okay. Think of it this way. NAD is a molecule that has many effects across many domains. So for example, it'll help with energy, it'll help with concentration, mood, it'll help with lowering inflammation, it'll help with balancing metabolism, insulin sensitivity, DNA repair, you know, because, you know, when our cells are working over the course of their working life, there's oxidative stress. hence the term antioxidant, to quench oxidative stress. And so the enzymes that help to repair DNA, they're called PARPs. And what they do is they use NAD as fuel in order to repair the DNA. And when you repair DNA, you essentially make sure that cancer doesn't appear, because DNA strand breaks can cause some cancers to form. So that's one use. So, and then another use that NAD is put to is enduring head trauma. So normally, when you experience a head trauma, you'll get an increase in neuroinflammation in the brain. NAD is great at lowering inflammation in the brain as well. So that's why it's over so many multiple domains, it's such a useful thing to add to a wellness regimen.
Okay. How would somebody know that they were NAD deficient or vitamin deficient? Is there some sort of testing that we'd undergo in order to determine if that is a supplement that we need?
Yeah, there are NAD tests. We actually work with a company and partner with them. They're the company called Bluedo that does dry blood spot tests that tests whole blood NAD levels. So testing before you do any kind of a supplementation is always best practice, because you want to know where you start. And then as you supplement, maybe every 3 to 6 months, test again to determine, okay, well, how is my supplementation going? So testing is useful as a parameter to measure. But also the bigger, more important thing is, how do I feel? And with any medicine or with any nutraceutical or whatever, what you want to do is you start taking an amount. And if the amount is not doing anything, you'll gradually increase the amount until you get some kind of an effect. And that's what we call that is titrating the dose. So gradually increasing the dose until you get an effect that you want, and then keep that effect there.
So the first part comes in as you get the baseline test. The blood test.
Sure. And then also a good medical history is also important, because tests are great, but they're only one part of a history that needs to be done if you want to really have a good idea of what your total wellness is. Histories require, you know, like a good 30 to 45 minutes of questioning, you know, like I have to ask you about your diet, about your exercise, what you're eating, how you're sleeping, all these things. And they form a picture of your health, which then gives us an idea of whether or not NAD, what amounts of NAD would be appropriate to give you, so to speak.
So for you to determine that as a doctor, when you're bringing on a new client into the clinic, right? I'm not sure. I guess giving the blood test, and then you're determining through, I mean, not like an in-person type of, is it in-person?
Yeah.
Interview?
In-person interview. Yeah. Like, just like having an appointment, I guess you could say. And then determining, okay, would it be better to give IV NAD or perhaps a subcutaneous fat injection or muscle injection or oral or intranasal. So there's many ways that you can administer NAD.
Yeah, that's my question too, is like, how do you administer NAD and what's the best method to get it, you know, into our blood, like into the bloodstream? But is it orally? Is it, like you said, intravenously?
Yeah.
And are there nuances between taking it orally versus doing intravenously? And then what's the regimen look like?
Sure. So the most dramatic effect is IV. So it'll boost your levels quickly. And then, of course, then the levels start to fall again. But then you have to, initially you do several loading doses. So you'd boost it several times. And then you would sort of scale that back to maintenance doses. That's how you would, say, do an IV supplementation. You can also do, for example, a subcutaneous injection or oral administration, intramuscular administration. And these would also be a way to maintain your NAD level once it's been boosted. So yeah, those are some of the ways that you would administer it. But also, not just NAD. I mean, it's not a single solution to every problem. NAD is a useful solution in combination with other things as well. For example, when you take NAD, you also have to make sure that you look at other factors to keep the NAD level high. In metabolism in a cell, your cell will recycle about 80 to 90% of the NAD that's in you. And so you have to look at that pathway and optimize that pathway too. So for example, magnesium supplementation, zinc supplementation. So these also help your cells to recycle your NAD so that the supplementation that you get, it sticks around longer. It has a better effect.
Okay. So question, when I hear you talk about intravenous, when you go and get the IV drips, or that's what I've heard about, you go to the IV center and they give you an NAD drip. How do they monitor exactly how much you're getting, your dosage? And then also the clinics that you go to, is there a difference between, you know, clinic A or clinic B, or is there something that you should look for in a wellness clinic to make sure that you're getting the proper dosage and the results that you want?
Sure. Well, the product that the clinics use is important. For example, what's the source of the product? Speaking for NAD Clinic, I can say that we are the world's largest manufacturer of it. And there are many other manufacturers, of course, but some of them are more reputable than others. Some of them are not going to give you the NAD that they claim to be giving you. So what you want to do is you want to look for third-party testing. You want to look for, you know, who's making the NAD and where is it coming from? So it's always best to ask clinics that. In addition, is the clinic being thorough, or the IV drip center being thorough in taking your history? Are they asking you all the questions like about your medical history? Are they looking at the other supplements that help complement NAD? So these are all things that you, when you're selecting a clinic, that you should ask them in advance, like all of these things matter.
Yeah, I would think that that's something that we would run into, or I have run into, is just knowing like where is a credible clinic to go to? And I know what's actually going into my body and if it's healthy for me.
For sure. I mean, what we do at NAD Clinic is we not only supply clinics with our NAD, but we also have our own clinics. We have one in our headquarters in the UK, as well as one in South Africa. And this is where we actually also treat patients and see people for different conditions and give them NAD as well. So we practice what we preach. And most of us, in fact, all of us, we also try to maintain our own health. Because if I was super out of shape and not taking care of myself, giving you health advice, what would that say? You have to practice what you preach. And I think all of us at NAD Clinic do that.
So question on NAD too. You mentioned earlier about methylene blue.
Yes.
So is methylene blue, if you could speak a little bit more about that, and also is that done in conjunction with the NAD?
Sure. Yes, it is. Methylene blue works on a different part of the mitochondria to increase energy supply, but it also has all these other functions too, as a mood booster, as a antiparasitic, as a even used as a medical contrast dye to image different tissues. A methylene blue is a little bit different in that you can only have a doctor administer it via NAD. Because there are a few risks. And one of the things that you can't do with methylene blue is you cannot administer it if somebody is on an antidepressant, because it has antidepressant functions. So it would be like stacking medications. And there's a risk of something known as serotonin syndrome, which basically means far too much serotonin in your brain. And it causes some pretty scary things that they would have to try to deal with in the emergency room. Methylene blue, it helps with energy metabolism, and it'll also help with things like lowering inflammation a little bit in the brain as well. And this is especially important because methylene blue is neurocognitive in that it both raises mood a little bit, but it also helps with energy production in the cells. This is particularly important for neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. So there's in the wellness space, this we are starting to use these to, I suppose, slow down progression of these neurodegenerative diseases. And we use it in conjunction with NAD, because NAD also works well in combination with methylene blue. But again, that's with proper doctor supervision and proper history taking. Like, you know, is it appropriate or is it not appropriate? And there are those things to consider.
Okay. Yeah, that's fascinating how, like, you can stack different supplements. I feel like there's just such a vast amount of supplements out there on the market, like
sure.
To know which one to take or which supplements or which do we need to be getting or what don't we get. So that's, I feel like it's just really confusing.
And that's why, like at NAD Clinic, we also espouse testing, both blood testing and history taking and just a good, well-rounded approach to wellness that's science-based and science-backed. Because it's all well and good to say, oh, it does this and it's really great, but how can we look at this objectively and measure things and make sure that it's doing what we say it's doing?
So when you say measure things, it's measurable. Is there a test that you can take after? So is there a period of time that can show some sort of progress that's achieved from doing the NAD?
Absolutely. As I mentioned previously, the blood spot test will measure your NAD levels. So it's always good to, I'd say, measure your NAD levels if you're on a supplementation program. Maybe once every 3 to 6 months, you measure before you begin, and then you measure it once every 3 to 6 months. And then it's a good way to collect data on how well your supplementation regime is going. If the NAD levels are sort of coming up a little bit, that's one good indication that yes, your body is responding to it. The other thing as well you have to remember is, how do you feel? Do you feel better? Is your brain fog lifted? Do you feel like you have more energy? Does your brain feel sharper? Is your mood better? These are things that you also have to ask as part of that objectivity.
Have there been any particular studies that have been mind-blowing in terms of what NAD can actually do for us and health-wise that have been studied and are out there?
Absolutely. There's a lot. I mean, NAD, as I mentioned, is not new. NAD started being used in the 50s, and it's got 70 years of clinical safety history. There's been a lot of papers on it as well, and ever growing a number of papers keep continually getting published. It is one particular paper that shines came out in 2019, and it basically looked, it was by a couple of authors by the name of Grant and Maystayer. And what they did was they were giving 6-hour NAD infusions of I think it was a, if I remember correctly, 1,000 milligrams of NAD. And they were looking at uptake into cells. And what they found was that when you were deficient, your body would just gobble up as much NAD as it could get as soon as it could get it, as soon as it was available. And then after that period of sort of becoming self-sufficient, then the NAD levels would rise in the blood. So it sort of showed that there was a need for NAD in the cells. Also, what it did is it showed how NAD was, some of the mechanisms behind how NAD worked, how it was getting into the cells, both directly and indirectly. So there's lots of science behind it. And like I said, as we speak, there is ongoing research because it's such a hot topic, because we all want to maximize our health span. How long are we going to be well before we all eventually succumb to chronic disease or end of life? And when will that be? And so by maximizing health span, we are able to offer people a higher quality of life. And that's what we want, and especially in the longevity and wellness space, right?
Right. Live longer and be able to enjoy life, right? Like, go through life not being critically ill or sick, or, I mean, we can be alive, but not truly alive, and that we can't, you know, do our everyday tasks or duties or things that we enjoy. It's obviously very fascinating. I'm always still very curious, like the dosage and then how to dose. And if someone's new to supplementation, how they would go about finding out more information about getting NAD into their supplementation program.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to, like I said, do your research on the clinic you decide to go to. Where are they sourcing their NAD? Good to ask these questions. And as well, NAD is not the only solution. It's a big part of longevity, but it's not the only part. The others are nutrients and then also lifestyle interventions. So I suppose we should also talk about how to increase your body's NAD levels naturally.
Thank you so much, Alexander. This has really been an energizing conversation, and I genuinely can't wait to continue this into part two. These topics around cellular health fascinate me, and I'm excited to keep going deeper, exploring how we can all age more intelligently, physically, mentally, and spiritually. That's really what Embodied is all about for me. It's finding science-backed ways to support our health, our energy, and the quality of our lives without chasing quick trends or fixes, to really dive deep into the science of longevity. If this episode resonated with you today, I would love it if you take a moment and like the podcast and share it with a friend who could also enjoy this conversation. It makes a real difference and helps this community continue to grow. Thank you so much for listening and for being here, and I can't wait to see you in part two. Thank you, Alex.